I grew up, and it's getting increasingly long time ago now, but I grew up with the Sunday or the Sabbath laws, if you want to call them that. On Sunday, pretty much every store was closed. That's it. If you needed something on Sunday, you were kind of out of luck. You had to buy it on Saturday, or you had to wait till Monday. And Sunday in those days was a day. It was set aside. Many families had Sunday dinners. It was a sort of semi-formal thing. People dressed up a little bit and came to dinner, invited friends over, family. It was a bit of a day. But that is almost completely fallen away in our increasingly secular society. And I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just the way it is. There's pros and cons to it. But in the gospel today, Jesus seems to be attacking the Sabbath. He seems to be saying the rules around the Sabbath should be modified or different. And so we ask ourselves in modern society, where do our hearts really lie? Do they lie with the modern life or with God? What was the Sabbath for originally? It was to thank God for creation, to give time of rest, to give time for contemplation. So it's interesting to ask in this gospel story, is Jesus trying to get rid of the Sabbath? Or is he trying to form a new reality? Make no mistake, there's great conflict in this story. The religious authorities, by the end of this gospel reading, start planning to kill him. It seems to be over the Sabbath, but it's really not. It's about something a little different. As a famous professor once said, if you're reading the Bible and it doesn't shock you, you're probably not reading it correctly. The religious authorities had a very deep claim on the Sabbath. It's deeply traditional. They weren't, in fact, incorrect in saying that you can't do things on the Sabbath. It runs deeply through their culture, through their religion, through their theology. So why was it so dangerous about feeding people or healing a broken man on the Sabbath? The religious authorities are not insensitive monsters here, and they're often portrayed to be that. They're really not. They're protecting their religion and their theology and their beliefs and their core systems. But the core root of this conflict lies much deeper than the Sabbath. It is about a dream of a new life, a new vision of God, a new way to understand God that Jesus is making. And Jesus, in a way, is transfiguring our individual and societal relationship with God. And make no mistake, this kind of change that Jesus is calling for can be very threatening. This passage closes, again, with the image of the foreshadowing of the cross. The message of love from Jesus sent him to the cross. And that message was unacceptable. It was much larger than the Sabbath. And that resistance is still in our society today. Let me give you an example of it, what I thought about this past week. Do you know how much the world spends in 1 year on military spending? No, I don't imagine you do, but I did, and I Googled it, and I looked it up. The world spends, this is the entire world spends, $1.7 trillion. On the military in 1 year. Now, I want to unpack that number a little bit because it's a staggering amount of money. $1 billion, B with a billion, is 1,000 million. So a trillion is 1,000 billion. 1,000 billion. And the world spends almost two of those a year on the military. So why not look into the future a little bit? Let's take a round number like 10. In 10 years, without any increase in spending, and of course there will be, but 10 years without any increase in spending, the world will spend $17 trillion on the military. Now I ask you, what problem on earth could not be solved with $17 trillion? We could house every homeless person. We could feed every hungry person. Every person would have clean water. Every child would be inoculated. And we'd still have trillions of dollars left over for education, for hospitals, for roads, and we would still have trillions of dollars left over. Now, there's powerful forces against this. Imagine a person like Jesus or a group of people suggesting that we get rid of the military, all militaries. Imagine the pushback on that. There is an argument for having a military, I'll admit that. But there's also the military-industrial complex. And if you don't think they would push back, and push back hard, you haven't heard nails coming together with a cross. Powerful forces. These powerful modern-day forces. And that's just one of them. And so what, with this message of love, does Jesus threaten today? Let's take the Sabbath, for example. We belong to God and not to labor. We belong to God and not to money. Jesus questions, where is your loyalty? Is it with money, with work, with consumption? Or is it with God? Can you not spend one day loving the world, loving creation, and connecting with God? Now, there is very good news here in this conflicted story. And in fact, it's incredibly good news and very powerful, much more powerful than the forces that I was talking about before. Because Jesus did feed the hungry. He did heal the broken man. In the face of all opposition, he did those things. Others may plan destruction. Others may want to build crosses. But the cross was not and is not the end of the story. In fact, in many ways, it's just the beginning. Today, we baptize Samaya and Ezekiel. And baptism is always, among many other things, a great sign of hope. I can absolutely imagine one day Samaya and Ezekiel teaching their children that poverty, war, dirty water, pollution, homelessness are things that used to happen. They're things that happened in the past. As St. Paul said, with God on our side, who can be against us? With God on our side, what can we not accomplish? With God on our side, the impossible becomes a challenge that will be overcome. John Newton was a 17th century slave trader who, on his slave ship one stormy night, literally fell on his knees and turned to God. In due time, God called him to ordained ministry, and in that position, he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace and was a leading figure in the abolition of slavery. A slave trader became an emancipator. Buoyed by our baptisms today, I ask the questions again. With God on our side, who can be against us? With God on our side, what can we not accomplish? With God on our side, we will feed the hungry. We will heal the broken. We will end war and injustice. And we will realize our own baptismal vow that love is the only way forward. Amen.